Hey everyone, welcome back to MarketSnap. JHX is on a lot of watch lists right now, and after a massive run-up this year, everyone's asking the same question. Is the growth already priced in, or is there still a margin of safety? Before you pull the trigger, we're plugging James Hardy into our fair value calculator to see what the numbers actually say. Let's dig in. James Hardy Industries. You've probably seen their fiber cement siding on homes across North America, and if you've ever watched a home renovation show, you've definitely seen their product. This is a company that's been around since 1888, but the last couple of years have been anything but traditional for this builder. The stock is up over 50% in the past year, but if you zoom out 5 years, it's actually down about 23%. That's a wild disconnect, and it tells you this isn't your average steady compounder. There's a story here. A big acquisition, a shifting housing market, and a company trying to reinvent itself for a new era of construction. So, who exactly is James Hardy? At its core, this is a global building products company headquartered in Dublin, Ireland, with operations spanning North America, Europe, and the Asia-Pacific region. They're the dominant player in fiber cement siding. That's the durable, low-maintenance alternative to vinyl or wood that's become the go-to for builders and remodelers. The company employs around 7,500 people, and they've built a reputation for premium products with real pricing power. But here's where things get interesting. In fiscal 2026, James Hardy made a massive move. They acquired AZEK, a leader in decking, rail, and accessories. That deal fundamentally changed the shape of the company. Revenue jumped from about $3.9 billion to over $4.8 billion. But it also brought a huge amount of debt onto the balance sheet, and it's going to take time to see if this integration actually delivers the synergies management promised. Let's talk about that revenue picture, because it's genuinely impressive on the surface. Full-year fiscal 2026 revenue came in at just under $4.84 billion. That's up about 25% year over year. And the growth was driven almost entirely by the AZEK acquisition and strength in their siding and trim business. But here's the thing about this revenue. It's not all created equal. The North American market is the crown jewel, contributing over $2.5 billion in fiscal 2022 alone, and that share has only grown since. Europe is a smaller piece of the puzzle, with the German market bringing in a couple hundred million, and the Asia-Pacific region, Australia and New Zealand, adds another $500 million or so. What's really interesting is the mix shift happening now. The new deck, rail, and accessory segment, that's the AZEK business, is becoming a meaningful growth driver. Management actually cited strength in both siding and trim and this new segment as the reason they beat their own guidance in the first quarter of fiscal 2027. That's a good sign that the acquisition thesis is starting to play out. Now let's get into the earnings, because this is where things get a bit complicated. Full year fiscal 2026 net income came in at just $104 million. Compare that to the prior year's $424 million, or the year before that at $510 million. That's a massive step down, and it's directly related to the AZEK acquisition. Integration costs, financing costs, and the amortization of intangibles all hit the income statement hard. Earnings per share for fiscal 2026 was just 19 cents, down from 98 cents the year before. But, and this is a big but, the company's adjusted EBITDA tells a different story. They reported higher adjusted EBITDA in the fourth quarter, and the preliminary first quarter fiscal 2027 results actually exceeded prior guidance. Management is guiding for a recovery, and the market is clearly buying it, with the stock up over 13% in the past month alone. The trajectory matters more than the absolute numbers right now. This is a company in transition, and the market is looking through the noise to the potential on the other side. The latest earnings call painted a picture of a company that's confident in its strategy, but realistic about the environment. Management highlighted strong financial performance in the first quarter of fiscal 2027, with strength in both the core siding business and the newly acquired decking segment. They talked about early progress on integration initiatives and cost synergies from the AZEK deal. But they also struck a cautious tone on construction markets heading into fiscal 2027. Housing affordability remains a challenge. Interest rates are still elevated, and the broader macroeconomic environment is uncertain. Management acknowledged that while they're executing well on things they can control, the demand environment is going to be a headwind they'll need to navigate. The message was essentially, we're doing our part, now we need the market to cooperate. Let's step back and look at the balance sheet, because this is where the AZEK acquisition really shows its weight. Total assets ballooned from about $5.2 billion in fiscal 2025 to nearly $13.7 billion in fiscal 2026. That's a massive jump, and it reflects the acquisition. Total liabilities went from about $3 billion to over $7.2 billion. The company's debt-to-equity ratio is now around 0.69. Manageable, but a significant step up from where it was. They still have about $274 million in cash on hand, and the current ratio sits at about 1.59, so liquidity isn't an immediate concern. Interest coverage is above 5x adjusted EBITDA, which gives them breathing room. Here's the thing that stands out to me, though. Return on equity is just over 2%, and return on invested capital is around 3%. That's low, and it's a direct result of the acquisition. The equity base grew massively, but earnings haven't caught up yet. The bull case here is that as synergies materialize and earnings normalize, those returns will expand. The bear case is that the acquisition overpaid and the returns never fully recover. That's the crux of the investment debate. Let's run through the classic SWOT framework, because this is a company with clear strengths and equally clear challenges. On the strength side, James Hardie has a dominant market position in fiber cement siding, with a brand that's trusted by builders and homeowners alike. They've demonstrated consistent pricing power over the years, and the AZEK acquisition gives them a complementary product line in the high-growth outdoor living space. Their gross margins have held up reasonably well, around 36%, which shows the premium nature of their products. Weaknesses are harder to ignore. The integration of AZEK is still a work in progress, and the earnings drag from the acquisition is real. Return on equity and ROIC are depressed, and the company is carrying significantly more debt than it was 2 years ago. There's also the cyclicality of the construction industry to contend with. When housing slows, James Hardie feels it. Opportunities are substantial. The shift toward fiber cement and other premium building materials is a long-term tailwind. The outdoor living category is growing faster than the broader housing market. And there's potential for international expansion, particularly in Europe, where penetration of fiber cement products is lower than in North America. Threats include the obvious one, a prolonged downturn in housing construction. High interest rates are already pressuring new home builds. There's also competition from cheaper alternatives like vinyl siding and the risk that integration issues with AZEK persist longer than expected. If the broader economy weakens significantly, construction spending will contract, and that hits JHX directly. Let's look at the price action, because it's been a wild ride. The stock is up about 13% over the past month and 27% over the past 3 months. Over the past year, it's up over 51%. But zoom out to 5 years, and it's down roughly 23%. That tells you the stock is in the middle of a recovery from a deep drawdown, and the market is starting to believe the acquisition story. The recent surge came after the preliminary first quarter results beat guidance, and the stock jumped over 8% in a single session back in April on above-average volume. Momentum is clearly on the side of the bulls right now. But, and there's always a but, the stock is trading at a trailing PE of over 118 times earnings. That's not a typo. The market is paying for future earnings, not current ones, and that means there's very little room for disappointment. Now let's get to what you're really here for, the valuation. We ran JHX through MarketSnap's intrinsic value model, and given the company's cyclical nature and the recent acquisition, the model settled on an EV/EBITDA approach as the primary engine, with forward PE as a supporting view. This makes sense for a company like James Hardie. EBITDA strips out some of the noise from acquisition-related charges and gives you a cleaner picture of operating performance. The model has high confidence in the data, and it flags this as a cyclical company, which means we need to be careful about extrapolating current earnings too far into the future. The setup scored 98 out of 100, which is about as clean as it gets. So what does the model say? The current price is around $30, and MarketSnap's fair value estimate comes in at roughly $25. That means the stock is trading above our rough fair value zone, not dramatically, but noticeably. The model suggests the market is pricing in a fairly optimistic recovery in earnings, and if that recovery doesn't materialize on schedule, there's downside risk. What drives this valuation? First, the model assumes free cash flow conversion of around 85% of net income, which reflects normalized capital spending and working capital needs. Second, it assumes share count declines about 1.5% annually due to buybacks. That's a reasonable assumption given management's historical behavior. Third, the terminal PE was set at 18, which is below historical norms, but reflects the cyclical nature of the business. And fourth, the EV/EBITDA multiple starts at 11.2, which is a fade from where the stock trades today. Here's the honest truth about these numbers. They're estimates, and they swing a lot based on assumptions. If you use a more optimistic growth scenario, fair value could easily be in the mid-30s. If you use a more conservative one, it could be in the high teens. The model is a starting point, not a destination. If you disagree with our inputs, plug in your own growth or discount rate assumptions on our intrinsic value calculator at marketsnap.com and see how the number shifts. All right, here's my take. James Hardie is a great company going through a messy transition. The core fiber cement business is a cash cow with genuine competitive advantages. The AZEK acquisition has the potential to create a best-in-class outdoor living platform. But right now, the market is paying a premium for that potential, and the model suggests there's not much margin of safety at the current price. If you're a long-term investor who believes in the housing story and the integration thesis, this isn't a crazy stock to own, but I wouldn't be adding aggressively at these levels. The stock has already run up over 50% in the past year, and a lot of the good news is baked in. If you're looking at a 5-year horizon, the model suggests that a $10,000 investment today might end up around $8,300. That's roughly a negative 4% annualized return based on our base case assumptions. Not exactly the kind of numbers that get you excited. The key risks to watch are the housing market, interest rates, and the integration progress with AZEK. If management delivers on synergies and the housing market stabilizes, this stock could do well. If the economy weakens and construction spending contracts, the stock has a long way to fall from a trailing PE of over 100. What do you think about JHX? Leave your take in the comments below. Thanks for watching. If this helped you think through the story, hit like and subscribe for more stock deep dives. See you in the next one.